All right, we're going to start in our study, tonight's study. We're almost to the end of the series. We have three more after this, and doing them on Thursdays and Fridays, plus missing some, it could carry out. Anyway, tonight we need to think in the time period of Acts chapter 20, that pivotal chapter there where a lot happens and a lot is reflected in Romans chapter 15, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and here in Acts 20. So by the time of Paul's Miletus meeting in Acts 20, where he called the elders down from Ephesus down to Miletus, Paul knew by that time, from his Acts 18 temple vision in Acts 18:22, he knew that he was to be sent far hence to the far off Gentiles, as he told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:24, and we've read that before. We'll go through it in a minute. He said that he had received that ministry to go far hence and preach the gospel of the grace of God to them. But by the time of the events of Acts 20, verse 22, Paul had told the Ephesian elders the history of Christ's sending of him. And let me just make sure, do I have sound? Anybody hearing me? Give me a one if you hear. By the time of Christ's sending of him from the Damascus Road salvation, when he was saved there on the Damascus Road, until the time of his meeting with them, those events, there's a... a history there. Let me just remark that those two of the places that refer back to who he was saved to be sent to, Acts, two of them are referring to certain Greeks, Jews and Greeks, not everybody. You know, everybody's either a Jew or a Gentile. The word is used that's used is Gentiles. Let me get those verses up for us. It might take a little longer, but they're important. Acts, and we'll get into more of why I see that they're translated in this way, not translated, but given to us, brought down through copies and translations, so that we have it. Here's the first one. Coming right up. But rise, this is Paul reporting to, I think it was Agrippa, King Agrippa, what happened to him that he when he was saved on the road to Damascus. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. So here's why. To make thee, Paul, a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. So it's, who's he delivering him from? The people and the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So he was sent to the people and the Gentiles. It doesn't say, if you look, it doesn't say all the Gentiles. It says, and you can tell from who he was sent to, that he was sent to certain Gentiles, part of the Gentiles. And in prophecy it says that he's going to be sent to those who will provoke Israel to jealousy. So he goes on, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. This is all, you know, stop worshiping idols. God is true. God is the creator. Jesus Christ is God. Turn from the darkness of religious ignorance to God, to believing in God, that he is the true God and that he did send his son. From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin. Let me get my place here. Receiving forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So there's that aspect. Let me get Romans 11:11, and we'll see that it's not necessarily all the Gentiles. It fits in with other this second sending that we've been discovering here. It fits in that, you know, there couldn't be a second sending if he was sent to everybody the first time, to all the Jews and Gentiles the first time, which is what we're reading about the first time. Romans 11:11, I say then, have they, that's Israel, has Israel stumbled that they, Israel, should fall? God forbid. He's not making them fall. That's not why they fell. But rather, through their fall, they went ahead and fell on their own choice, Israel did. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. And again, this is not, it doesn't say all the Gentiles. It qualifies who it came to. Salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. It's the Gentiles that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. The ones sitting right there with them in their synagogues every Sabbath day. The Greeks. Those that blessed God and blessed Israel. So, I'm not going to finish if I don't get back to the notes. But he's starting his talk with these elders from Ephesus, and he goes in Acts 20:22, and he says, and now, Paul implied that a change was coming. And in other words, here's the difference, he's saying, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, he was going, taking gifts, food money is actually what it was, for the starving saints in the Jerusalem church, in that group of the little flock, the 12 apostles and the Jews that were called in circumcision, and that's the church of God in Jerusalem. That's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ was Paul's group that was sending the money to keep them alive, keep them from starving. So he's going there with this money, but why had he left? That was in Acts 22, verse 22, when... let me get that right. That was in Acts 22, not 22, it's before that, when he's reciting... I better look it up. Acts 22:18. He was in the temple in a trance, receiving this vision from the Lord, and the Lord said, I saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So, to keep Paul safe, the Lord told him, get out of there, right? Well, that's the quickest exit from Jerusalem that is recorded in the Bible by Paul. He got out in just part of a verse. I mean, he got there, went up the hill to Jerusalem, saluted the saints, and left that fast in less than a verse. So Paul was heading back to Jerusalem, and knowing that they wanted to kill him when he told them. He told them later, okay. but they wanted to kill him then. He didn't fully know what was going to happen to him there. But he did know what Christ had told him in Acts 18:22 in the temple vision. In the temple vision later on, not in Acts 18:22, later on we're told what that vision was like, what happened in that vision. That's in Acts 22. Verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So this news that Paul received, okay, excuse me, that was a PM. I better continue and then look at that afterwards. Remind me to look at that afterwards, please. In that news that was in the temple vision to Paul, there in Acts 18:22, there was something that would be rejected by the apostate Jews, and they would not like it at all. So Paul knew to get out of there, and he got out in a hurry, as we read before in Acts 18:22, when that temple vision occurred. It says, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch, another city out of town. So that was in Acts 18:22 that happened. But here in Acts 20, verse 22, he's going back to Jerusalem. And we'll find out soon why he's going back. It has to do with those destitute kingdom church believers in Jerusalem who had obediently sold everything expecting the kingdom to come in right away. But now let's go to Romans and get this aspect of it. Romans 15 verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. This is Paul speaking. Strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Well, we find that to be true. Paul tried not to preach the gospel of salvation to certain people, the people that the Holy Ghost had forbidden him from preaching to, preaching his gospel, the gospel of salvation for us. Gospel of the grace of God. Well, at that time, it wasn't being sent to everybody. It was still the same gospel message. Believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. But just a word about the epistle to the Galatians. Many people think that Galatians was written to those in Acts 16, verse 1 through 11. And some of them were from Galatia. And it's true that Galatia is not mentioned in the Bible before Acts 16, verse 6. People think that it's talking about those in Philippi there in Acts, or in the ones in Acts 16. Let me show you why I also believe that it was the epistle was written to those in Acts 13 and 14. Acts 13 and 14, before that Jerusalem meeting there, and after Paul was sent in Acts 13, 1 to 4. Although Acts 16, verses 6 and 7 is the first time the word Galatia appears in the Bible, it is in a list of places that Paul and Barnabas had visited and were going back to, as he describes in Acts 15:36, which says, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. So we find Paul revisiting the cities where they had preached the word of the Lord, it said in Acts 15:36, to establish body of Christ churches. Acts 15:41 says that's why they're going. And in that list of churches where Paul was preaching the word of the Lord was Galatia, to where Paul was returning. He was going back in order to confirm the churches. And we, verse 41 says, And we went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And it goes on. So, according to Paul in Acts 15:36, Paul had already been to Galatia and had already preached to them the word of the Lord. And he was returning to confirm the churches there too. So those in Acts 13 and 14 are also people to whom Galatians was written, not just the later churches. And if we look in Galatians 2:9, Paul had accepted a concession from James, Cephas, or Caiaphas, whichever way you like it, Peter, that would be, James, Peter, and John, that he would still go to the Gentiles, as the Lord had called him to do, or sent him to do, the heathen, and they would only go to, they'd only be going to the circumcision, the true circumcision, the believing Israel. That's the ones that they had gathered in the church of God in Jerusalem that was starving. So, well, let's read the verse to confirm it. Galatians 2:9, And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now, we'll see two places where Paul was not only sent, but he was restricted. In Acts 16, verse 6, he was restricted from Asia and Bithynia. And we see Peter starting off his letter of 1 Peter. In the first verse there, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered. See, the strangers are Jews that are scattered in that scattering throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Well, especially take note of Asia and Bithynia, and then as we look at Paul's journeys in Acts 16:6. We see him not preaching and building on another man's foundation. Paul said in Acts 16:6, Now when we had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and then he goes on, but let me just say, Peter had contact with these people in Asia. He possibly had visited the province of Asia that was not, you know, he's not talking about the whole continent of Asia with Russia and China and all that. That's not the same place. This is the province of Asia, called Asia, in what's now Turkey. So it says that they were forbidden. Paul was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And he goes on in the seventh verse, Acts 16:7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So Paul had contact, we read in 1 Peter 1, had contact with people in Bithynia and Asia. And let's read on down in the Acts record after those two. We read Acts 16, 6 and 7. Let's read down through 11, I think. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. Neapolis is right in the area there, I think, of Philippi and Thessalonica. And remember that as Paul preached the gospel of God in the synagogues, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 18 said that some of them were being called in uncircumcision, the body of Christ gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, or at that time, the gospel of Christ, and others were being called in circumcision. That would be the gospel they had heard in the past, probably before before Israel fell in Acts 7, I would guess. I don't know. It doesn't say. But they had received the call to believe Israel's covenants and to come to God through Israel's gospel, Israel's doctrine. None of either of those beliefs were allowed in the synagogue to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead, was the foundation of both circumcision and uncircumcision. So both, you find both groups temporarily, briefly meeting together in Paul's meetings. Paul and his fellow workers would minister to the gospel of the gospel of God believers that God had called in uncircumcision. They would minister to them, and Peter, that's Paul and probably Barnabas or Silas, whichever was with him at the time. But Peter and his fellow workers would minister to the gospel of God believers that God had called in circumcision. The difference being the ones called in uncircumcision into the body of Christ, Paul would minister to. And the ones called in circumcision into the little flock, Peter would minister to. That doesn't make sense unless if you read the verses. Let me read through those verses. This will be 1 Corinthians 7, 17, 18, and 20. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So they traveled on their way toward Macedonia after this Macedonia vision and the trip from Troas to Macedonia to Neapolis. And that was the door of opening for the gospel of Christ to be preached in Europe and the West. Actually, probably where most of us heard the gospel. It traveled mouth to mouth, person to person, generation to generation, and to us, finally. But I shouldn't say finally, like it's the end. eventually, maybe we should say. But they followed the Lord's leading, and the Lord kept them from crossing paths and building on each other's ministries. Let's go on to Romans 15:21. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now think about it. The covenants of promise were spoken to Israel, so it's saying to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. So if the covenants of promise were spoken to Israel, then it's not talking about Israel, is it? In Romans 15:21, it says those to whom he was not spoken of. The oracles of God were spoken to Israel. So again, it's not talking about Israel. The Acts Greeks are the only ones mentioned in Scripture that fit the description there in Romans 15:21. They shall see and they shall understand. And that fits with the last half of Romans 11:11, that the Gentiles that Paul said salvation was come to, is come unto, were the Greeks in the Jewish synagogues. Not yet all the Gentiles, just the Greeks. That segment of Gentiles that came to God by blessing Israel, by fearing God, working works of righteousness, bringing their tithes to bless Israel. I say that, this is Romans 11:11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall is salvation come unto, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For, why? Why did it come to those Gentiles? For to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. And that fits with what God promised and Moses prophesied in the third of four parts in Deuteronomy 32:21. And that third part, before I read the whole thing, the third part says, I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. They were not a nationality. The Greeks are not a nation. So reading Deuteronomy 32:21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. So but that's it right there. Those which are not a people are the Greeks in Acts that fulfill that prophecy. The Greeks were just in a short period there. They stopped having any special standing in Israel when Israel fell in Acts 7. But you read about them still. I mean, the news didn't travel as fast back then, I guess. I don't know. But they tried to still bless God. When Paul came and taught them, they, believing Greeks, provoked Israel to jealousy. So the Greeks were not a people. They were not people of a nationality such as Syrophoenicia. Mark 7:26 makes that clear. The Syrophoenician woman, it says she was of the nation of Syrophoenicia, but she was a Greek, it says. So the Greek part is cultural. It's not bounded by nations. The Greeks were not a people of a city. Ephesus is mentioned in regard to Trophimus, that he was considered a Greek that Paul supposedly brought into the temple, but he was a man. His nationality was from he was from Ephesus, citizenship from Ephesus. So it says, and I will move them to jealousy, which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And the other people mentioned that foolish nation is a prophecy of the little flock, prophetic remnant. Romans 15:22, those Greeks had an important place in God's plan during the work, or a work. I will work a work among them. Habakkuk 1:5. At the same time as the startup of the mystery body of Christ. Before either the gospel of Christ or the gospel of the grace of God was sent to all men. It was in that period before Paul's second sending. And that's what he's telling them is terminating here. There's a cessation of that first dispensing of the gospel of Christ. The Greeks were a means of drawing out the remnant of Israel into the body of Christ by believing the gospel of Christ and then, the gospel of God and then the gospel of Christ. So they had a special place back then. God had a job for them. They were in God's will. I don't know how you want to put it, but they just didn't just happen to be there or be in the way when Paul preached or whatever. So in Acts 13, verse 4, the Holy Ghost first sent Paul to the provoking Jews and the provoking Jew blessers, as seen in verse 26, Acts 13, 26. Those were the ones he was sent to at first from that Acts 13, 4 sending of the Holy Ghost. Then by the Macedonian vision in Acts 16, verses 9 to 10, the Holy Ghost extended Paul's sending to a wider scattering of Jews and Jew blessers. At that time, in Acts 16, Paul had not yet been sent far hence to the far-off Gentiles, the alien Gentiles. We find a lot of what Paul later writes after the end of Acts to the Ephesians, what he writes to the new group of Ephesians, has to do with accepting each other. The two groups, the earlier Ephesians and the ones that had been alien from the covenants of God, the covenants of promise, and yet they heard the gospel when Paul was sent to on his second sending to all people. Those two groups, they needed to be encouraged or admonished to accept each other, and we see that in Ephesians 1:12 that those Acts Greeks that first trusted should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That they should get along with those in the next verse, Ephesians 1:13, you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Paul was exhorting those two groups to get along with each other, together. And that's why he's talking about the seven unities, getting along. That's why he says in Ephesians 4:3 that they are to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there was this confluence. The two conditions of Gentiles. Whoa, lost my internet or connection here. Let me just restart this here. What happened? I don't think anybody here? Hold on. All right. Can you hear me now? I'm hoping for a one. No? Okay. Hold on. I'll re-enter the room here. I'll re-enter. Let me see if I can get in as an admin. Okay, am I here? Am I here? Anybody hear me? Whew, good. Okay, we'll get back to the lesson. There we go. So, Paul was, I don't know how much you missed, but Paul was exhorting them to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. in the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Throughout the epistle to the Ephesians, frequently Paul references the two blended groups, not Israel and the body of Christ, not Jews and Gentiles. In Christ there is no Jew, no Gentile in the body of Christ. It's the two groups would be those who had been aliens and those who, not aliens from outer space, former alien Gentiles that didn't claim the covenants that were to Israel, didn't want to come to God. They had their own idols, etc. Get along and accept each other. The other group being those that did try to come to God by blessing Israel and accepting that promise to Israel that God would bless those who bless Israel. The covenant is not made with the Greeks or with those that bless Israel. The covenant is made with Israel. So, throughout that epistle, though, you see references to get along, to accept each other, to realize they're one body. They are one body in Christ. It is the body of Christ. And not to begrudge each other. I think that also applies to the section there in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10, about when that which is perfect is come. After all, in Acts there, and actually toward the after the end of Acts, all the parts of the body were in place. You had the Greeks, the Jews that were the remnant according to the election of grace. You had the aliens that were coming into the body of Christ by believing the same gospel that we believe. It was perfect by that time. By the time Paul began preaching the gospel of salvation to all men, it had all the parts there, just like a perfect baby isn't grown up yet, but it has all the parts there. So Paul began being sent to all men, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and the work. The body was complete then. It was perfect, having all the parts. Well, that would be in Acts 20, that we don't see any more signs, any more tongue speaking, after Acts 19. Acts 19 is the last we see of any body of Christ signs. Signs to Israel. Remember, Israel required a sign. So that's where I place the meaning of when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I take it to mean when the body of Christ was complete, had all the parts, not just the Jews and the Greeks. Paul was still the apostle of the Gentiles, so he had... Also, he had the signs of an apostle. That's different. But the body of Christ signs to or for Israel were gone by then. Never mentioned again in Scripture. And I know that a lot of people presume that which is perfect means the completed Scriptures. And I think that explanation almost fits, really. But that explanation is about as close as you can get to matching the timing of the events in Scripture for those who will not believe the Scriptures, showing that there were two sendings of Paul. The Holy Ghost's first sending of Paul with the wisdom of God in a mystery was to answer prophecy about a work. I work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you, starting with the Holy Ghost sending of Paul in Acts 13, verse 4. Christ's second sending of Paul, far hence, to the far-off Gentiles, started with the Philippians 4:15 beginning of the gospel in Acts 20, verse 6. And it continues today until the catching up of the body of Christ. Let's continue reading in Romans 15, at verse 22 and 23. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Did you catch that in there? No more place in these parts, he said. So, just let me emphasize it. No more place in these parts. He's done with what he had been doing. He's finished. Regarding his first sending that was in Acts 13, that we read about in Acts 26, verses 16 to 17, Paul is saying he has completed his first sending. That they were filled. He said in Romans 15:14, they were filled with all knowledge. He told them that they were filled with all knowledge, and they were filled up. They were full. He uses a lot of terms in that portion of scripture there. In Romans 15:19, he said, "I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." And here in Romans 15:23, he's saying, "I have no more place in these parts." And in Acts 20:20, he said, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." You Greeks and Jews, in other words. There was other things for other people, but he had finished his sending to them, his being sent to them. And remember, sent, he was sent, that's part of the definition of an apostle, a sent out one. So he had told them everything that the Jews and Greeks needed in their special situation and their prophetic situation. He had finished. In Acts 18:22, Christ told Paul of his new sending that was coming. It wasn't yet there, but he was aware of it now. It was later told in Acts 22, verse 21, as we read, Paul said, "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee." I will, that's a future word. "I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Now, Christ had sent him before to Gentiles, but he hadn't sent him to all the Gentiles. There's no place earlier that says he was sent to all the Gentiles. It turns out, from following Paul's travels, that he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Greek-Gentile, they were Gentiles. I hate to use the term Greek-Gentile because that makes it sound like a nationality, but it's not. It's a culture, Greek culture. From the Greek Empire, 300 years before then, it had covered the world, or the known world, and the culture, that knowledge, seeking knowledge, well, it's kind of like... I was going to liken it to the West, what's called the West today. The culture, American culture, British culture, quite different from Oriental or from Mideast culture in just the way they think and the way we think. So, he had been sent to those Gentiles which would provoke Israel to jealousy, to want what those Greeks have. And here Christ is not being redundant. Paul did not disobey or failed to go to the Gentiles to whom Christ initially sent him. If in Acts 13 Christ had sent him originally to all Gentiles, then Paul would have been disobedient and Christ would have had to tell him again that I'm sending you to the Gentiles again. But we see in Acts 26:19, Paul said, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So we know that Paul did go to whom Christ sent him in Acts 13. So this sending in Acts 22:21 has to be a different sending. It's ascending to different people, to all Gentiles, far off, far hence, positionally and doctrinally, far hence. Those alien Gentiles had not blessed Israel. They had no hope. Well, when they had hope when they heard Paul preach anyway, though. But in Miletus, in Acts 20, verses 17 to 38, in that meeting there, Paul tells those early believers in Ephesus, those early Jews and Jew-blessing Ephesians, that he has received of the Lord a ministry that was not mentioned before Acts 20:24, the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He has received this ministry. He is letting them know. Let's read the verse, Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. Well, he had a course to finish, and he had been given that course in Acts 13, verse 4, and his goal was to finish it with joy. And additionally, the ministry which I have received of the Lord. And that's where Paul tells them that he has now received this ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's the first time that name for the gospel of salvation for all people is listed in Scripture, that name. In the same way that Paul had said that he finished his first sending, he later says he finished his second sending that he has now received. And we can see that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, two verses, verse 7 and verse 17. He says, I have finished my course, that finished what he was told about in Acts 20:24, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's Acts 20:24. The new name of the gospel of salvation coincides with the beginning of the gospel that Paul mentions in Philippians 4:15 and 16 as being when he left Philippi, Philippi, Macedonia, and that was in Acts 20, verse 6, given as the beginning of the gospel. It doesn't give the details that Paul gives in Philippians 4:15 at that time in Acts 20, verse 6, but it does verify when it was in the Acts trail of events. It was three verses after Acts 20, verse 3, when the Roman epistle was written that we're studying. Paul said, and we're going to close here, but Paul said in Acts 20, verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi, and that was the chief city in Macedonia, in that part of Macedonia. He says, we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them in Troas, came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And I'm not sure why they give those. Well, I'm done. It's time for questions.